Parashat Chukotai deals with the, this is the parasha where a lot of Rishonim find the place to discuss Charav HaOinish, and it is something which is quite problematic in the sense that the parasha is quite clear about Charav HaOinish being something in this world. The Torah starts and says, I mean, as clear as can be, if you do the right things, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth, and everything will go well. On the other hand, if you don't do the mitzvahs, things will be terrible and bad. That's as explicit as can be, that the schar and onesh are all part of Olam Hazeh. It's Olam Hazeh stuff. So we're going to, so the Rishonim will talk about this as a topic, and the first piece is the Rambam, who discusses what Zchar is and what Zchar isn't, and so on. Me'acha shenoida, this is a Rambam here. Me'acha shenoida, shemat noschoran shal mitzvahs, v'atoyva sheniskela, ishamana da Hashem ha'kosu v'atoyva, yicharim haba. The Rambam says, once, shenei malamitim l'cho barach yamim. The Rambam bases the fact that the Zchar and Onesh is something which is Olam Haba, and it says L'mayitrava Rachta Yomim. Rachta Yomim implies something which is past the days that we have. It's an extension of years. So he says also the bear that they get Rishayim Vanikom Eshayik Men Eshayim She'ozor HaTzedek Aksuz V'Tayor is Karis. It's Ramam Shita that it is a total chorus. So the Rambam was borrowed by the question, Mauze Shekosu Bechalatari Kula Im Tishmu Yagil HaKach Mauze Shekosu Esam HaKach Hol Oysan Dvar Boilam Hazeh Koin Seiva V'Roa Muhammad Shalom. Everything that the Torah talks about is only this worldly things. So he says, first of all, Kol Oysan Dvar Emes Hoyu V'Yu, all of these happen and will happen the way it says. When we do mitzvahs, we get Olam Hazeh reward. We're using the word rewards with quotation marks. Ubezman shana ibra lem tikanes haroa saksubas. So these things are true. It's not true. So what is it? So Rambam says va'afal pikein ein oisen atoyves him seif matzoson shomitzus. Those good things are not the matn schar of the mitzvus. But reward and punishment in the sense of being the end goal and the final point on the journey of mitzvahs and averis is not what it's talking about.
Ready?
Yes.
I mean, the lashon sof matan tzaran or sof nekama, does that mean that it is the tzar, it's just not the complete tzar?
I think the emphasis is more that this is not the end. You know, it is. He's going to explain what it does, but this is not the schar of the end. I think the emphasis is more that the end is of tachos rather than saying that there's a few stages of schar. That's what I think, because we'll see as we go on. Elakachu echakotvar hakadosh baruch hu nosan torah zayit chaymi b'chol ha'ise kolakosuba. A person who does what it says, the yodei dea gemur nechayna, and he understands it. Zochu b'chayim haba. I want to stop on this a second. That's not his main point, and reaffirm a certain point in the Rambam. The Rambam says, if you do what's written in it, fine, but that's not enough. That's not actually the point. The yodei dea gemur nechayna, zochu b'chayim haba. Well, if you go to Maisa Vay Chachmas Zocha. Now, the Rambam is saying over here, this is Rambam Sheet all along, a person's, the schar we get in Olam Haba really depends on the way we've molded our person. In other words, our understandings of what's right and wrong. And I want to sort of emphasize, the word understanding is not how good of a thesis can I write on it, how good of a dissertation can I do, how well can I argue it, how many proofs I have for it. That would, the problem with that is that it would leave somebody who's less of a kishin with less of olam haba, and that's not true. And it also thus seems to be a drop removed. There are many pretty bad people who can very eloquently the riot sayers talk about anything. What he means is the values of the Torah have they become your fundamental understanding of what's right and wrong? Do you recoil from gzela? Do you recoil from trefa? In other words, the data we talk about here is the person's fundamental perception of things. And that's a process of thinking about it, and each person according to his own das, each person according to the arguments, the thought processes that make it part of him. The point is, a good person is not only someone who's done good, but someone who thinks good, believes good. He honestly believes that doing good to others is what's good. It's something that's him. And that's why, and the Rambam says, if you do what it says in the Torah, v'yodo de'a gemura, and it's become completely assimilated into your conscience, would be the much better description, then the olam haba. And once again, he reiterates, l'fi goydel ma'isa v'yim chachmasei u'zeicha. Okay, now he says, there's another point. The Torah showed us shimnasa is a besimcha b'tayves nefesh. If we do Torah, if we're fulfilling Torah besimcha b'tayves nefesh, and we're always guiding our lives with its chachma, sheyosim and kol advarim hamoynas arseisa, because Prabhu takes away the obstacles. You're going choyli mulchama v'raviyet them. The illness, war, hunger are all things that create problems and a person can't progress. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take that away. Will give it to us. Will take away all the bad things, sorry. V'yashpil lanu kol ha-toivus v'zik tzeres ha-toira. And say v'shom yu'ketzah, kidei shlo naso kol yameinu b'dvarim sh'aguf tzarech lehem. Ela neshev pnuyim lulmoit b'chachma v'lasos ha-mitzvah ketzinis kachar ma'haba. We will have the time and ability to sit and do the right things. So the Rambam says that the brachas and the klolos are sort of an interim stage, whereas the good that comes to us when we do good is not there as a schus in its own right. It's not there something to say, okay, that is what you worked for, but rather it's there to make the conditions easier to do. I want to sharpen it a drop and to try to give it more of a flavor, what and why. The Gemara says, Schar Mitzvahs by Al-Maleka. There's no schar in this world for mitzvahs, meaning this world doesn't contain in itself the type of material that could possibly be a schar for mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are ruchnistic things, and any schar that's gashmis doesn't match up. It's like, a kindergarten teacher has a little box of different things that she gives out as prizes. Those things have no place in the world of grown-ups. Somebody pulling a quick deal through, and then when we pull out the kindergarten box, we give them one of the possible prizes. We're just not in the same world. No shaykhs. But the value of this world, notes the essence of this world is the means to accomplish something in the world, and therefore when we have better tools, that is a schar in this world. Let's give a mashal. Somebody works in a factory, and he does a lot of piecework. He works on piecework, and gets paid by the piece, and he's a very effective and efficient worker, and the boss likes it. So one of the things the boss might do is give him the new equipment that comes in to run it, because it's a win-win situation. He's effective and efficient. It'll be multiplied greatly by new equipment. He'll win by it because he can do even better, and the boss wins because he gets the work done. So when a person is doing something, is working in this world, and he's accomplishing, the schar in this world could only be a way to accomplish still more. I want to add something I think is sort of hidden within the Rambam. The Rambam says the condition for doing, for getting this is Shem nasa oisa b'simcha u'b'tuvis nefesh. B'nei Chazal, if we do it b'simcha and with joy and so on. Now, the Rambam is coming off a pasuk. At the end of the Chachat says tasas v'atasem kechav simcha u'b'tuv leivav, and so on. So the Rambam is incorporating that into the condition. But I want to, so that's why the Rambam says, I want to add why I think that the process works that way. If let's take an example. Let's say a mother works hard to make lunch for the kids, or supper, and a kid really appreciates it. He enjoys it. It's a stimulus for the mother to make better stuff. He's still better and put more effort because it's being appreciated. Let's say the kid's not appreciating it. The mother worked hard and made some great fish, and the kid spits it out. The mother worked hard and grilled, I don't know, chicken or whatever it was, and the kid sort of dabbles on it, leaves it over, eats it, doesn't say thank you, doesn't appreciate it. So an appropriate mahalach would be to stick to peanut butter sandwiches for a week. And then the kid will say, I had something great going, and I blew it. The lack of something becomes depreciation. When a person does avodas Hashem, when he does mitzvahs and learning the simcha of tov levav, so that's a sense of appreciating it, wanting it, knowing that this is right for him, knowing how much it gives him. So fine. So the person, so that's a stimulus to give more to the person. The person doesn't appreciate it, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away. And then a person begins to appreciate what he had and what he lost. So the Rambam, so sort of in this process, when a person, it's not only not doing it that shows you that you don't want to do it and this should happen. If the person does it in a grumbling type of way, in a way it shows doesn't appreciate it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, let's see you appreciate it. And you see it a lot of times, you hear these stories about how people want more Mesir Nefesh in some sort of in a prison camp or whatever it is to put on film once, and they went through great lengths to do it, and then when people have the time and the freedom to do it, we do it very perfunctionally and sort of grumble a bit, and that's it. So it's also the appropriate tool for trying to realign the person. Okay, then he says, "V'cheinu d'yana b'teira shimnazav ator midasnas galizman." We get involved in shtusim, kinyan shnem v'yishman yishurim v'yivot. So one of the, so the Rambam explains here, one of the reasons why people do bad is because they become very fat and content with olam hazeh. Like it says that you're bayit only from fat and so on. Shedayin emes yosno eisen kotez hazeh. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he withdraws all that good. Shein chiskidem levoit umei valem kol haroas hamanes tovim zolam haba neshev debrisha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu he takes away the olam hazeh because a lot of times that's what stopped a person from doing what's right. So the bountifulness of a gashmius can either make the person very energized by what is Hashem, and then it becomes feedback to do more and more, or it can become a source that a person should leave it, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it takes it away so that we come back to it.
Really?
Yes.
The Rambam's lesson doesn't seem to suggest that it's Kadesha Yovdu Rishon, not Kadesha Yachsiru B'tshuva.
I don't think he says, Umevelim Kolaros, Hamozak Yachsiru B'tshuva. You're right. The Rambam's lesson is that he's doing it as a way to finish off the process to take away the chance from them to do tshuva and so on. It would be in line with the Rambam speaks about paro, about take away bechira and so on. You're right. I'm sorry. The Rambam doesn't seem to say that. Nimtza. So the Rambam sums up. Pirush kol eisam brasa kol zederach zu. That's how we explain the whole mahalach of the brachos klolos. Im avadat Hashem esim kol shmartim darkoi. If we are over Hashem b'simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us brachas, takes away the kolon, so we have the time and the ability to do it. And then you have a double world, this world and the world to come. And if you leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you get involved in Ma'achal Mishnah and Znus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Dom has away from you, and you also don't have not this world, not the world to come. Right, so the Rambam says it's sort of a double whammy. We either have both or nothing. Then the Rambam adds, the Rambam says, avu kol yisrol mashiach. Why is it that we look forward to Moshe Mashiach? Kedei shiyonuchu mamlechois she'ena manichon lehem laskim termitz kohegin. We want to be let alone by the Umas Hoylam. In this, it calls man, we're not in the truth of Mashiach, we're going to we have impediments and tsaris by the very nature of being in Golos. When we are mispalled from Mashiach is that we should be left alone. The Shizko Chalom Haba. Lefi sheba'oisa yamim tirbe hadeya v'chochmemes. In the days of Mashiach, das and chochmemes will increase. Shenema kemol aretz deyas Hashem. V'nema v'layumdu isha sve'eu v'nema v'chulu v'nema v'shoyses le'ba'em v'psorchem. In other words, so if we ask ourselves, why is it, how do we sum up what it is that we're looking for in the tkufas of Mashiach. We're looking forward to Mashiach and so on and so forth. So the answer that's usually given is half the answer. The answer is they should free us from all our tsaris and tsar and so on and so forth. Definitely a good thing to be freed of all the tsaris and the tsar to golos. But Klal Yisrael never sees tsaris and tsar as an end to itself, the freedom from that. The freedom is to do something. In other words, the end result is not just to be. The end result is in order to accomplish what we want to accomplish. See, Moshe HaMashiach is the era when we can accomplish without the external distractions of even the Yitzhara, possibly, like it says, Vasi Oysis Leib Evim Ibsarchem. But the point is that the person in itself attain what he's trying to attain. I want to add, it doesn't mean that it's easier, it's less humble, but there's a big difference. A person is plowing a field, and, well, let's take a modern example for that. A person has a company is producing widgets. So one person works very hard selling the stuff. One person works very hard meeting the demand. You know, he's got such a long demand fit, he's got to ratchet up the production and make sure it gets a living, so on and so forth. Another person is working very hard fighting lawsuits. Now, there's tremendous satisfaction working hard to ratchet up production. There's no satisfaction in working hard to fight lawsuits, unless obviously you have a law firm. But other than that, that would be sort of ratcheting up production. But there's no hana in the taking away problems. Where we're living now, the vast majority of our energy, even v'zeh safer toh halechem, it means that we spend a vast amount of our time doing something which really shouldn't be necessary. We're reinventing the wheel. We should have had the food delivered to us. Instead, we have to produce it, spending 85% of our time doing that. So the Moshe Mashiach, what do we look for Moshe Mashiach? We're looking for the ability to reestablish our lives for the purpose that it's meant to be, which is to be marbe das chokhmemes. And the Sha'isa Melech Shayamud Mizer David Bal Chokhmiyah Yesim Shlomo. He says the Melech Mashiach will be wise in Shlomo. The Navi Godlu Kol Moshe Rabbeinu. He'll be a Navi on this close to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ulefikach Yilamed Kol Ha'om V'Yosem Derech Hashem. He will teach them the way of Hashem. V'Avohu Kol Ha'goyim L'Shomoy. Shenem Avoy V'Achas Hayom Nochni Yehar Beis Hashem V'Rosh Ha'arim. I want to stop a second and just reflect on something. The Rambam presents our vision of Mashiach. Your vision of Mashiach tells you a lot about who you are and what you are. The Umas HaOlam, the Gruim Shebehem, their vision of Mashiach is a vision of a great warrior fighting the war, establishing victories. They revel in the fight, in the glory, in the battle, in the victory, the triumph, all of that. That's Gruim Shebumos. The more Toim Shebumos, picture Melech HaMashiach coming to a world where everything is calm, peaceful, and quiet, and everybody leaves a life as interesting, as fulfilling as a simple shepherd, and that's it, little lambs. No, you know, basically the person is by far better to have sheep to shepherd and little lambs than it is to slaughter people. But not terribly fulfilling to reduce a person to the level of an adult sheep. In other words, he's the sheep leader. The Rambam's vision is that a person's kalaisal shuk is for chachma. We want to be smart, enlightened, understanding, depth of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're frustrated because we have to spend so much time on other things. Melech HaMashiach is the one that will teach, that will just understand. So it's an extraordinary vision. And the Fikach Yilamit Kolombia Tzarech Hashem, the Klaisel will become one big base medrash. Our vision of Mashiach's times is a big base medrash. We have a called Neshomo. All the goyim will come to hear him. A world of people who are understanding the truth. And then the Rambam says, but the real tov that is eternal is olam haba. Ayimoyes haMashiach is olam hazeh. It's this world. None of the natural laws will change when Mashiach comes. Ella. The only thing that will change is we will get back our monarchy, which means Kol Yisrael. So it comes out that we have a very skewed view when people speak about Mashiach. On the one hand, they project the Tekufa where things will be radically different in the physical world. That's not true. Secondly, they predict also, they think of it as being everybody is good and everybody has money and everybody is settled. But no, the vision is a huge base medrash covering the world from one to the other end and everything else taking care of itself. Like the only job missing in the yeshiva will be executive director, possibly. Everything else will be there. It'll be big kollel and yeshivas and that's it. It's extraordinary vision. And it means, you know, people like to say, you know, whatever problem you have, say, oh, Mashiach will come, it's Hashem, everything will be okay. Yeah, but Mashiach comes, everything will be sitting and learning, thinking, understanding, and so on. Okay, the next piece is a Ramban. It says, V'tam v'shalachti b'soichem, shetiyah hanagosi b'chem mefursemes, kimelach, so what it means is the bottom line of the B'chu Kaysai is it will be apparent to everyone we're Am Hashem. Because all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised here is more the demonstration that Klai Yisrael Dam Hashem than any particular Shechar Shabbo. Now he's bothered the same question, why don't have not mentioned? V'lo hishke akosu v'kav tchah kim anifash v'lo mani shamos v'lo mhava kis ha-meisim ki kiyumon mechuyah b'derach ha-yetzirik v'shbasti b'krisis v'ho'oynesh hu shemachis ha-chayav shbem v'ashar kula v'iskayim v'biseitzios. So man says an extraordinary chiddush, and I just want to follow his thinking pattern. He says like this: You need to tell people things that are not obvious. For instance, if somebody's traveling on the road and he sees a sign that says deer crossing, so we understand the purpose of the sign, the information. If somebody's driving on a road and there's a sign that it says cautious, there are other cars on the road also, so the person will start trying to figure out what exactly does that mean. It's not true, it's very true, but it's the obvious. In other words, the Torah is telling you that which is not obvious. Now, the schar of olam haba for the nishpashas, the schar in the sense that they're eternal, which is the way the Rambam writes as being the main point of the schar, is that it's a good that has no hefsik and it's eternal. He says that's innate to a neshama. A neshama is a thing that doesn't cease to exist. It's ruchnius. So there wouldn't be any chiddush. The chiddush is that in this world, a person who is a ruchniistic person have it better is weird. Like in the world where chesed and emes are realities, so the schar for mitzvahs is evident. But in this world where potatoes and tables and muscle are realities, there's no rhyme or reason why a nice krishma should bring about better crops. That's a chiddush. That's where we have the Torah says, the Torah is telling you the dvar chiddush dafke in this world, because that's the only place where it is a chiddush. So he's saying an extraordinary point over here. He's saying the Torah is there to tell you what is mechudish. The chidushim are in this world only. The Torah doesn't tell you what's going to be in Olam Haba, because in Olam Haba, the eternity of nefesh is by definition, since a nefesh is something ruchni and a chelek alakai, it is of nature not given to disintegrate or to fall apart. Okay, one more piece. There's a Rebbeinu Bechaya here. He also speaks about the same question. They all address the same question. When it's bayah bekan schar oil manishamis ve'ira v'isa kosu b'chal yehudim agufnim v'somach al sichlo shel maskel shel bnei matoichom. He says the Torah did not. The Torah works as follows. Things that are ruchnius, neshamadik, and so on and so forth are too refined to mention words. Whatever you say about Olam Haba, the people sit and eat and enjoy it, you can't use any really words to do it. So the Torah must describe it on a physical level. V'somach al sichlo shel maskel shel bnei. And the Torah then expected you to extrapolate and to understand that which is the ruchniistik schar from that which is the physical schar. Ulerov milas olam ahu lo hiska tar v'shumokim yana mefurish. So in other words, the Torah doesn't tell you anything which A, cannot be spelled out in words, cannot be understood by most people, and the reason why it can't be understood is because we're physical. And everything we understand, we can only understand physical realities. So for the vast majority of people, the word Schar Olam Haba could not be described. What the Torah instead does is it has a double layer. And so Rabbeinu Bechaya speaks about the Luchas and Mishnei Avraham and so on and so forth. The Torah speaks about things Olam Haza that are true, and it expects the more refined thinker to understand the truth in Olam Haba, extrapolated from this truth in Olam Haza. That's what the Torah is trying to do. Yeah.
Rabbi, there's a pasuk in Navi that about Ein lo ra'asa Hashem lamachakelo. So is that merumas?
Yes.
In
the Gemara says kol avilus nabu elo, and then there's a whole series of possibilities. This is what he says here. He quotes it. Zechedosh Azal, kol avilus nabu mesu Mashiach avolam haba Ein lo ra'asa kinsol secha.
So I guess
here the kind of roiv omkar osa kinsol avilusam. A Navi needed, and the Maral explains why Chacham is Arabi Navi, a Navi needed some muscle. So without that muscle, you couldn't possibly convey it. A Navi needs words, pictures, something. Olam Haba is beyond that. So the Torah couldn't have said it, and only Derek Remiza from Olam Haba.
But couldn't the Torah have said something to the effect of the Navi has said that? I'm not going to tell you what this is, but it's something that's beyond description.
That's Torah Shebal Peh. We need to understand what we can understand from what's there. The Torah Shebal Peh is not a ksav. Okay, we'll hold it here.